All right. That's a little nice music Connor's pulled up to get you kicked off here on a Sunday night at 8 o'clock. What's the temperature outside, Connor? Do you know?
I have to look on my phone real quick.
He's going to look on his phone. It's just cold. Christian Gay is our guest tonight. Christian, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Ed. It's always a pleasure.
What you got?
33 degrees.
I'd believe it.
I believe it, too. You were standing outside when I pulled up a while ago. I thought you were trying to get a ride or something.
Yeah, I was. You passed me.
That's what friends are for.
I didn't know where we were going. I thought we were going to go somewhere, Ed.
We are going to talk tonight. I posted on Facebook. I hope many of you are listening. I don't mean to be an alarmist. I don't mean that. I truly don't. But... tonight, we're going to talk about something that's important to Democrats. We're going to talk about the Democrat Party in the state that we're in here. And I'm talking about here, primarily here in Middle Tennessee. That's what we're concerned with. We can't control anything that people do. We don't mean to say that. We don't mean to propose that. But I called Christian up because I respect this young man. He's going to be around here probably a lot longer than I am in the long and short of it. And I respect his opinion. And what do we look at 5, 10, 20 years down the road? Where are we headed? This is a place we've never been before in my life. How old are you, Christian?
I'm going to be 26 in January.
Your law school?
More than likely, yes,
sir. More than likely. Let's step back, and I have, and Christian and I were just talking, I've stepped back since the election, a lot of stuff I've filtered out. I know a lot of you have. Got a good friend, and I saw that she made one post on Facebook, said, I think I'm going to just step back for a while. Basically, that was, in essence, what she posted. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Connor, let's kick this thing off, and let's get started and get maximum yield of our time. And we'll talk to Christian. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I am still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
And a little rock and roll to kick you off on a 33 degree tonight here at 8 o'clock now on a Sunday evening. Christian Gay is my guest. This is Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer. This show is produced at studios at WGNS, AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. You can reach us tonight with your questions and comments at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. You can text me a number to my phone, 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. The way you can watch us, and you can watch a lot of us right now, Larry, a good friend of mine in Kentucky, I hope you're watching. By the way, Christian, a lot of our friends up there are suffering through the same thing that we are. With the Democrat Party.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah. They are. At least they've got a Democrat governor. Thank goodness for Andy Beshear.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can reach us on the good old-fashioned radio, 1450 AM, like I just told you, 100.5, or right here in Rutherford County. The best one is, the best frequency is 101.9 FM, I do believe. You can watch us on Facebook Live. You can watch us on YouTube. Go to News Radio WGNS, pull us up there. You can go just to YouTube and just pull us up. My wife listens on Alexa. There's, I don't know how many different ways to listen, okay? You can find a way, and you can just Google us. You can catch all my shows there on podcast, WGNSradio.com, and scroll over and then scroll down, and you can find all my broadcasts there since day one, all 12 years. So Angela Bingham, as she left, you can download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish. Angela's doing a great job here on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. with Simplicity. Got to listen to Jason Qualls this week just a little bit. on financial coaching, does a great job, and all the rest of our sports and all of our people, and, you know, doing a great job. Okay, and enough said there. Christian?
Ed?
Where are we headed? Where are we going?
Do you care if I don't know.
I brought you up here for that reason. I want you to expand on your – go right ahead, because we've never been here before. Not like this. I can tell you in my life, because I'm 66, so I got 40 years on you.
Well, let's take a step back before, of course, you and before, of course, me. But I think I'd like to establish a set of ideas for our discussion.
Sure.
I think the first thing is that America is not on some destiny for greatness.
Okay.
There is rather a continuum that exists that, if we like it or not, is influenced by foreign governments, regional beliefs, inherent prejudices within different groups of people. But there is a mythos of America, this grand idea of it. And, you know, you often hear that still there are people who proclaim that we're the greatest country on earth.
Right. I understand.
And that is a hard road to plow.
And it's great to be proud of America. That's wonderful. That's fine.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't think it's necessarily because people who tote that line think that we're bad at everything or in anything. But because we've been lulled to sleep by our hubris that we're the best at everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to sports, when it comes to you know, the Olympics or
gold medals,
entertainment value. I mean, if you think about it, our biggest export in the 80s is what, jeans and Coke. So
yeah, right.
You know, there is a,
and you mean Coca Cola?
No, but there is
okay.
Maybe not to reasonable people, but. Not all people are reasonable, right?
It's true.
So, you know, I have heard the quote that we are in our adolescence, therefore we're arrogant.
Right.
Now, perhaps we are dumb enough to think that.
Okay.
Collectively. But not so. I think if the election of Donald Trump is the most abhorrent thing you can recall in your lifetime, then we have, not you individually, but just us as a collective, then we need to all step back, like your good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put this into a perspective. Now,
This
is not to downplay the re-election of Donald Trump. This is not to downplay the re-election of Donald Trump.
Agreed.
So, but let's think about it for a second. In the 40s, we put Japanese people in camps. And then since 16...
Yeah, how did that work? Yeah.
Not very well.
Right.
In 1611 or 1619, African Americans were brought as the first slaves to the New World. And until 1964, they were, by law, second-class citizens.
Right. Exactly right.
And women didn't get the chance at full bodily autonomy until the 70s. I know a lot of you are old enough to remember that.
Sure.
But we don't remember.
Couldn't have a credit card or other things.
No. Right. We couldn't apply for a bank account or whatever.
Sure.
Then we weren't around for the Native American death marches, where we just marched them out to Oklahoma and said good luck. Or the many wars on that frontier. We were around for Dobbs versus Jackson, the gutting of women's health rights. But I don't think any of us here were around for Woodrow Wilson showing the white nationalist movie Birth of a Nation in the White House. Political assassinations. We nearly had one this year.
Nearly did. Yeah.
America's role in destabilization, the destabilization of South America. I could go on all night, and believe me again, I'm not downplaying this election.
Sure.
But if it's
Vietnam,
the
whole nine yards. Yeah.
So we have been caught in a continuum of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Pure, unadulterated chaos, from the first shots at Yorktown and Bunker Hill to the first shots in the Civil War, all the way to the civil rights struggle and this new turning point we're in today. And you're asking me about the future, when I think a lot of us haven't resolved the complexity and the worry of the past, because in that section lies what it means to be an American. What it means to understand our own mythos, our own idea.
True.
Through that history, we can craft our ideas for what the future should look like. That we can never go back to these things. So that's where
In other words, learn from our mistakes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there is something called the politics of inevitability. Mm-hmm. That because Donald Trump's been elected, or because this Democrat was elected, or because these parties are bad right now,
right.
That we are on a crash course for XYZ.
Right.
That is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only does it implant fear into people,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know about you, but this little magic box you get can make you as scared as you'd like for it to be.
Sure, right.
But it also then makes people delusional enough to then create a reality, whether it be the guy who tried to assassinate a political candidate this sure. last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or that happened twice.
Twice.
I forgot about the second one.
Yeah. He never got around to it, but he was setting up for
it. He was in the bushes.
Yeah.
And as abhorrent as those acts are, people were and are scared enough to then change the entire course of history because of fear.
Right.
Americans are resilient people.
Sure.
And I think that's an overgeneralization in some sense, because there are a lot of people who in this country that we know now aren't resilient. I don't want to sound like a 75-year-old man and talk about and be crotchety and a codger, but
okay.
There is an overwhelming resiliency that we find because we came out of all of these things, for better or for worse. And there is nothing about the new elected government that can smother us forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this discussion with a lot of my Democratic friends, and some of them said, well, what about the pain that happens during these governments?
Right.
And that's nothing to worry about. But the fear is what I talked about just moments ago. When we don't understand these complexities, then we don't perhaps understand the seriousness of what it means when the state of Texas is vying to give the incoming administration lands to put migrants into camps for.
Right.
That the incoming head of what is going to be head of Human Services or something, Robert Kennedy,
right.
had proposed not too long ago camps for people to get them off of not just drugs, but of antidepressants, SSRIs, you know, things that people use for medicinal
right.
health purposes, mental
sure.
health. So,
right.
Ed, I'll see you in the camp.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've been on antidepressants for years.
You know, and it's an odd thing. When people say something, how far do we go to say, he was playing when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mean it.
That's what I heard a lot about Trump. Well, he just says stuff.
But to pivot, you know how long Hitler would proclaim his Reich to last? 1,000 years.
1,000 years, I believe.
1,000-year Reich.
Right.
It lasted, I think, 17.
Mm-hmm.
The world came back from this.
Right. Yeah.
And while there are people who wish to forget,
mm-hmm.
it is our duties as American citizens, as Tennesseans, as Southerners, to face these ugly things still. And to use that as a roadmap going forward.
Well, like I told you earlier in the week, I think that a lot of people, we're not that fast of forgetters, but we've got a bunch of people that are just refusing to remember.
Sure. And I think
And I'm talking about the whole scope, like
yes,
you're talking about,
yes.
the whole scope of the.
And I think where that comes from, we were talking about before the show started, that may not have been such a big problem back whenever you were my age.
Sure. Right.
I can actually guarantee it wasn't. If you asked the guy
right.
what color that wall was, he'd tell you it was the same color. Or if you asked a guy about what happened in the news, you had a guy that went off every night that said, and that's just the way it is, right?
Right.
Was that Walter,
right.
Walter Cronkite?
Yeah. And that's the way it is.
So
yeah.
we have begun to divide ourselves, not just regionally, because you have people come from California moving
True.
Out of their liberal
right.
cities, coming here. You have people from here migrating over to more liberal cities, vice versa. I think we're going to see that we had a second great migration like how we did with African Americans moving to the North and into the industrial cities. But we may very well find that there was a second separation of people who phased themselves out into a different place. So we not only were separating ourselves by geography, but we have on our phone the thing that we take to bed, the thing we wake up with, the thing we use on the toilet, the thing that we use in the shower, the thing that we use on our way to work, the things that we use at work.
Right.
We have this strange universe that we've created for ourselves, and we divide ourselves there too.
True.
So let's ask ourselves something real quick. What is our role then in making this bed for ourselves? It wasn't Donald Trump that did this.
No.
It wasn't truly Elon Musk that did this.
No.
We could go back to Newt Gingrich and say, speak like Newt, that whole yeah, destabilization,
right,
of politics back then.
Right.
But was that just a long time coming, you think?
I tend to believe that it has been evolving for more than 40 years. People said it started, and I've been guilty of saying this, that this all started with Reagan.
Sure.
I think it may have started way before then.
When LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act, he said, I think I just delivered a whole section to a completely different party for my lifetime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For generations.
For generations. Yep. You know.
So
Christian Gay is our guest. We're going to go to our first series of breaks. Connor's on the board. I'm Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Stay with us. We'll be back with you after a word from our fine sponsors. Stay with us, folks. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
All right. We are back. Excuse me. We are back. Christian Gay is here, and we have a caller on the line. Caller, please go ahead.
Hey, Ed, Christian. Good to hear you on the radio tonight. This is Kelly.
And this is mm-hmm. Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly.
Okay, thanks for calling, Kelly. Bye.
Ed, oh, my God.
We just do that to see who's listening is what
listening.
We do. All three of my listeners. Thank you so much, Kelly. There's a third of them gone, Christian.
I'm telling you.
Kelly, how you doing, huh?
Oh, I'm I'm doing all right. How about you?
Cannot complain. You know this gentleman that's here with me.
Well, yeah, I think I know him in passing.
No, no. don't ever claim it if you have to.
What's going on?
I was listening to Christian's comments, and I greatly agree with the whole mythos of America that, you know, we can do no wrong and we're always wonderful. And, you know, I think you can hold both things can be true. You know, if you can see the underbelly of the bad things that we've done and still be, you know, proud of the country too. It's like, but I think a lot of our problem too is our myopia. You know, it's like we tend to think that because we think of ourselves as the greatest nation, that everything that happens here is isolated.
Right.
So our economy is bad, so it must be the president's fault, and ignore the fact that, you know, there was a global economic disaster that was tied to the pandemic.
Sure.
And even looking back in history, not just at what we have done, but that in economic, you know, downturns globally, that's when it's really easy for populist, totalitarian strongmen governments to take over. And
right.
You see that happening globally with the economic disaster that followed the pandemic. There's so many countries that are turning to, you know, fascist or totalitarian regimes. And
right.
I think if we just look at what we're doing, we fail to see the impact that the global dynamics has on our own political movements, you know, and victories or losses.
And I think you're right in a major sense, because so goes America, so goes the world, you know, especially if our economy does bad. I think I do remember hearing about in 2008, it wasn't just us that hurt, and in the Great Depression, of course, it wasn't just us that hurt. But, you know, and the other thing too, we don't export prosperity either.
Nor do we export freedom.
Yeah.
Which was brought about by, what was it, that movie, Network News, or whatever it was. Was it Jeff, what's his name, Kelly, the guy, talked about freedom? Because that woman had said, what's the greatest thing about America?
Oh, freedom.
A lot of countries have freedom.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He does that big, long spiel.
We don't have a corner on that market either.
No, we don't. Not necessarily.
And
go ahead, y'all.
But I think that one thing that goes with looking abroad is that we also can look at how these other countries respond to their own movements. I think now in the country of Georgia, that is by and large a puppet state of the Russian Confederation.
Right.
They are in protest now. Vladimir Putin is struggling in Ukraine, having to conscript North American troops, North Korean troops. He is having to fight both fronts when it comes to the Baltic nations down there, about how they're beginning to kind of get a little bit more of a backbone against Russia at this point in time. And now the only shot he has left is someone who will be, if the Senate confirms her, our national security advisor, Tulsi Gabbard. And
a perfect choice. Wonderful choice.
And what may be his best friend in world government, Donald Trump. So
yeah,
I think that there's a lot to learn as we look abroad.
And I don't think you can minimize the possible impact of a second Trump president.
Not in any way, no.
Looking at who he's appointing, and, you know, just attempting to dismantle the institutions that are what we consider America.
And how much do you look at Russia, though? Because this is the exact same thing that they had worked on since the fall of the Soviet Union. Putin gets in his back pocket these big oligarchs, and he says, hey, look, you guys give me money, you guys can do what you want to. And they said, okay, we'll give you money, just don't impede on us getting this money. You can deconstruct the government, you can install puppet states, a state media, and bada bing, bada boom. He's, by and large, a dictator. Not in the sense of there being a mythos.
Elections. before him.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they still do, but they're not fair elections. I think back in like 2020, 21, maybe been early. I think it was a time in Trump's presidency, but there were videos on like CBS Nightly News of cameras showing that there were ballot boxes being stuffed in Russian elections.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I'd ever seen a world leader's election be fraudulent. Like, that was the first time I'd seen one, like, just out there and about. Just, it's a lie, it's a scam.
And like I said, you can't really minimize it, and I recall the quote from On Tyranny, Christopher Hyde book?
Timothy Snyder.
Timothy Snyder, yeah.
Right,
sorry,
Tim Snyder.
Really wrong. Yeah, Tim Snyder. Anyway, there was a quote from a Jewish newspaper at the time of Hitler's election that was kind of minimizing, you know, it's like the country's strong, the foundation of the country, you know, won't allow him to do all the things that he's saying.
That's exactly right.
And
yeah.
It, in less than a year, it had become the Third Reich, and it had become a fascist, you know, Nazi dictatorship.
And you're completely
that's
right.
The reason you can't minimize what they want to set in motion here. And it's terrifying that it only took a year. But what we need to do is remember, like you said, look at the way people are standing up and supporting the institutions that will keep that from being steamrolled over.
And I think a lot of that comes from not us having a mission of us partisans, not us having a mission of trying to convince everybody of the truth. Because I think you and I have talked before, I think it was over Mexican food or something, but we were talking about how the more that we try to tell people about a viewpoint that is truth to them, the more they dig into their own ideas and beliefs, because that is what is most valuable to a human being, is their sense of security and what their reality is. I mean, you got food and water and like a place to sleep, but when it comes to a person's mental stabilization, I firmly believe that a person and the reality that they live in, if that breaks for them, then nothing else makes sense. And that is true in my life. If my reality was just melted away from me and everything I knew that I had gotten from Fox News, from the trusted news source, America's trusted news source, they say it every time the commercial comes on,
then of
course I would never think, I would never imagine that anything else could be more right. But I think our job is to tell the truth, no matter what the circumstances are. I know you've seen the Chernobyl series on HBO, but the guy says that lies are how nuclear reactors explode. Every lie we tell incurs a debt to the truth, and one day that debt is paid. We cannot, even in the face of what we have to worry about for the next 4 years, the next 15 years, the next 400 years, we can never stop telling the truth.
Yes, I agree, especially even if it falls on deaf ears. And the fact of this past election is, it was not a mandate.
No.
51% of the voters, those that did vote, actually voted for the Democrat candidate.
Yeah,
so right.
It was not a mandate.
No, and you heard that trumpeted whenever he was getting a landslide in the Electoral College. Oh, but you know they hadn't counted the votes yet, but they wanted one. They created one on X. They created one on Truth Social, on Parler. They created it on Facebook, where people have divided themselves into their own little realities, their own little worlds, and it reinforces the idea that Donald Trump now has king-like powers because he has some sort of mandate. It's just a further reverberation. They know what they're doing at every step they take. And we can't we can't pretend they're bumbling morons, because his handlers aren't. They're the ones that got him elected.
Sure.
Right. And that is the truth that we need to tell. It's like even that is a truth that has greater consequences.
Great.
So we need to remind people that there are half of the population does not support his agenda. And if that half of the population make sure to withhold our institutions and to make sure in the states and in the local governments that we withhold our democracy, that we withhold our representation and the things that we hold dear, the things that we are guaranteed by the Constitution, it will make it harder for them to steamroll us into their own agenda.
That's right. Everything they take, they have to take it inch by inch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think we're beginning to see maybe even some Republicans that are saying, I mean, I noticed this past week even Mitch McConnell is starting to bow his back a bit, Kelly.
And
because he's no longer part of the hierarchy, if you will, of the Republican Party. He has stepped aside as the leader, as far as that goes, in the Senate.
And where the rubber meets the road, they don't agree with that agenda. Even in our own state, with a trifecta, with a Republican governor, a Republican Senate, and a Republican-controlled House, they still did not pass Governor Lee's pet project of school vouchers. And there were Republicans in the state house that voted against that because they know the negative impact that will have for the citizens they have to be answerable to and for their own schools. So even that, when it comes down to application, they understand the implications that has for them and their...
And their and of course, too, Kelly, for their own political future, too. You know.
Right, because they are answerable to the people that will vote for
sure.
them. And when they,
sure
they
are.
Don't have public schools that are funded and they don't have any private school alternatives that people can afford, then they're going to have to answer to that, and they probably won't be able to afford their, you know, sending their own kids to school.
That's exactly so, right.
They will begin pushing back when it begins to affect them and the influential people that they are answerable to.
It's scientifically proven that when you remove power from somebody, their spinal calcium intake, it increases.
Kelly, thank you so much for calling.
I miss you.
We've got another call.
Love you guys too.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. Okay. Bye-bye. We have another caller on the line.
Yes.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Reimer, how you doing?
Hello, Jeff.
Jeff,
how are you
Neal.
Doing?
How
Jeff Neal.
Doing? Jeff.
I'm watching the snow game here in Buffalo. I was holding for some snow.
Hey, who's winning that?
They had 2 feet of snow up there. Who's winning, Jeff?
Snow's all over the field, but Buffalo's winning 21-3.
Oh my, that's not even worth watching.
In 21, they have snow, so you can't even see. All you can see is the middle of the some of the yard markers, and it's
I saw a shot earlier, Jeff. You may have seen it too on NBC. They showed at 4:15 this afternoon, and that parking lot was still covered.
With
tailgaters.
It's going to be 4 feet, but last week or a couple weeks ago, I don't know if y'all saw it, but out in New Mexico, they had 17 inches.
Folks, I'm sorry, I am not that dedicated to anything.
Don't die in a snowstorm. I'm not coming.
Like, I mean, I do like my easy chair, and you know.
Yeah.
In New Mexico, they closed 100 schools down. But they did say on the sidelines during the ball game they have chicken broth and hot dog players.
Yes, I saw that's how it was during the Missouri Arkansas game on Saturday. They had a good amount of snow.
Yeah, I saw the players making snow angels, and I thought, you know, what is this, a 300 or 250, 300-pound man making a snow angel? Come on, man.
Hey, you got to keep it light sometimes, Red.
Y'all were talking about the Democrats. I just hope they can win some elections in Tennessee. It kind of gets me, it kind of irks me a lot that certain people just vote the party line when they see a R by somebody's name, and I've got certain people in my family it's the same way. They look at an R and they just vote. They don't look at the person. They just look at the letter by the person's name. So that's kind of disappointing. To me, it's just like I told Ed, it's disappointing when they don't have to go to these candidates don't have to go to political forums or debates and still win. That's what frustrates me.
And that's kind of par for the course, I think, as we get further separate from each other. Like, I don't know if you'd listened to me a minute ago just talk about how more we just push apart each other.
Exactly.
That's just what's going to be a product, and I think that's just kind of the way they like it. And like,
yeah, exactly.
you can't take away the milk when the milk's good, man.
Exactly. And what I was going to say, y'all talking about different things. The thing about it is, there's some Americans that think democracy is good everywhere. That every school, every country in the world should be democratic. Every one of them. They should have different forms of government. See, there's people, when the fall of communism happened in Russia, they didn't want to be free. They were so used to the state running everything and doing everything.
That is, there's some truth to that, Jeff.
That's what their life want to be free.
It's like a man that's been
everything.
Right. It's like a man that's been let out of prison. His
exactly.
life has been regulated for, say, the last 30 years.
Exactly.
He doesn't know any different.
But oh, yeah, but let's not forget, though, they had a lot of pride in their country because 30 years prior, maybe not even that, yeah, 40 years prior to that, the Nazis were knocking at the door, and they sacrificed 4 million guys, and that's not the counting civilians, in the Battle of Stalingrad. Like, yeah, they don't want their government to be different. It literally saved them from the Nazis.
Just like you talk about prisoners, I've seen stories where they'll get out of prison, and they'll go into stores, like convenience stores, and
right.
they sit there. I've seen people sit there and stare at, like, back there where the Cokes and things are, drinks. They stare at the drinks for 10 minutes, trying to figure out what to pick out.
Sure.
What drink am I going to get? I don't know what I can pick. I mean, I got a freedom. I can pick what I want to. They can't believe that, you know.
But,
I mean,
fellas.
30 years, and I can pick out my drink and my candy.
But there's actually proof. Look at Ukraine and look at how hard those young fellas are, and men and women are fighting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, they love what's called democracy.
Yeah, they like
Make no mistake
stuff.
About it.
Yep.
They like this, but it's not going to be that way when Trump gets in. I can tell you that war, the fun in that will stop them. It won't be nothing. They won't be. What they're going to do is, they've already said that Putin will get Ukraine and he'll keep coming for more. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we've already seen President Zelensky try to, before I think the Biden administration ends their term on the 20th, they're already saying, like, hey, you guys want to have a ceasefire? You can keep what you took, but we're gonna join NATO. And how about we just stop doing all this? You can have what you got, but
yeah,
how about we just
right.
not do this?
NATO will be no more when Trump gets in. He won't even move with NATO. We'll be out of NATO, or it'll be done.
And yeah,
there's already world leaders that they don't even want him to be in power. He's gonna be in anyway. They don't even want him to be in. Right now, that as I'm here for the first time, he was in. That Merkel looked across at him. That if he looks could kill, he'd have been dead.
Yeah. And remember, Jeff, this isn't the first time we've been an isolationist nation either. One of the greatest democratic presidents of all time was an isolationist and only got into the Second World War when he had to.
When Japan attacked us, that's on Pearl Harbor. That's the reason we got in. If they hadn't attacked, we wouldn't have been in that war.
Like, we literally sent boatfuls of Jewish refugees back to Germany. Like, we just did.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't going to get involved in it until we had to.
Right.
Oh, yeah, David will live in. Like I said, David will live in it. This Saturday's the 83rd anniversary of it. So, like I say, that's you know, I mean, people that live through it, they know what I mean. Edwin Lee, you live through, you talking about assassination. I lived through Reagan getting shot, almost dying.
Oh, yes.
He almost died in that hospital bed. So, I know about that. And like you was talking about Trump, he really had three because Iran tried to kill him, but the government stopped.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that Iran tried to, Iran tried to kill him.
Yeah. Iran didn't do it. Because if the government had stopped, he might be dead right now if they hadn't stopped.
Yeah, he'd been laying in the grave.
That's what I'm going to say. But now, yeah, like I said, that's one of my worries. I know we got a governor's race here in a couple years. And I hope we can get a good candidate.
Quit worrying, Jeff, and keep voting. Keep talking. Keep telling the truth.
Oh, yeah, that's all you got to do. Well, we know Donald Trump ain't going to do it. So
yeah, somebody's got to.
The Republicans won't do it. Not in this state. Him and Marsha Blackburn weren't. Somebody's got to. So,
hey, see you later.
Jeff, thank you so much. We appreciate you. Jeff Neal, everybody. Supporter of this show, supporter of this station. Appreciate you so much. Okay. I tell you what, Connor, let's go to our last series of breaks if we can. Thank you, callers. We appreciate it. Sponsors, thank you. Christian Gay is here. Connor's on the board. And I'm Ed Raymer with you till the 9 o'clock hour. And now another word from our good sponsors. Back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations of Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. All right, and we are back. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you so much. By the way, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Well, I know we did, and, you know, I think everybody made it through the holiday okay. We've got a couple more to go, and we'll get there.
How many more is it? We got Christmas, we got Thanksgiving, Hanukkah's coming up.
We've got Thanksgiving. We got Hanukkah, but... And of course, well, we're not Jewish, of course, but we've got the...
I could be.
Could be.
I'm not, but I could be.
Whatever, I guess we all could be. I'm sure we are to some degree. And then we've got, of course, New Year's and all that good stuff.
We'll be in Atlanta for that. We're going to go down after Christmas, about the 29th. And we stayed in Atlanta last year, and there's something just wonderful about it at that time of year. That it's kind of an unsung hero of the South, I think.
Oh, yeah.
To some people who live... outside of Georgia, perhaps some people who live in these rural communities who don't get out to go to bigger cities other than Nashville or Chattanooga.
Sure.
They're pretty cool places that aren't Nashville.
Oh, yeah. Now, you have made a purchase recently.
Well, Ed, I'll be truthful with you. My wife made a purchase for me.
Oh, okay.
So it's even better. It means much more to me. She got me a 1968 Smith Corona typewriter.
Right.
And for the main purpose is I'm working on a novel.
Okay. All right.
I'm about 10,000 words in now, 27 pages, and I want to finish it on the typewriter, mainly because computers allow you to edit too much right there. You have to be serious about what you say whenever you're writing on a piece of paper.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You can't go back. Like you can't change your mind. And you know, you get through a draft and you go back, edit it. You see what you like, don't like, and then you just keep moving on. But I had submitted some work of mine into a short story competition that's out of New York, and we learned back the results in January. So, she asked me what I wanted for Christmas the other day, and I'd been talking about a typewriter, and she said, "Well, I know this guy who repairs them and refurbishes them here," and she said, "I'll haul your carcass up there and we'll pick out a typewriter." So she towed me up there today, and I did some transcribing of from the digital to the electric copy too, because like if you just rely on a computer or any of these other electronics,
when
they crash on you and your stuff's gone forever, if my house burns or whatever else, you know.
I was reading an article with the private investigative work, and I'm getting ready to renew my license.
Mm-hmm.
And one attorney told another investigator about reports when we have to turn them in.
Yeah.
If it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage.
Yeah.
And there's, of course, obviously truth to that with when you're writing. But you said the beautiful part is this thing don't talk back to you at
it
all.
It doesn't say a word to you.
And kind of strange, isn't it?
No. you know, my wife asked me what
refreshing, refreshing.
My wife, you know, she asked me, well, you know, what do you want for your birthday? And some peace and quiet would be nice.
How about some white out?
Yeah. Honestly, like, there's nothing more, there's not the most more beautiful sound in the world than people shutting up. There just isn't.
There is. You know, that's true. And I'm the guilty one. I talk all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I'm somewhat loud, as you know.
No, I don't know anything about that, Ed. I'm actually wearing headphones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I noticed here, what's this guy's name again?
Scott?
No.
Carter.
Connor.
That guy.
I can't remember. I tell you what.
You pointed out the general direction. I just guessed the name.
Connor is handed me the plans for the future station, and I've come up with a name, and I want to submit this for the name for the station, the Honorable Edwin Lee Raymer Recording, studios, the studios of the Honorable Edwin Lee Raymer.
It's going to be Ramblin' Reds.
Ramblin'
Ed Raymer's.
That's what I'm doing right now. Ramblin'. That's pretty good. You
done took us somewhere.
Now, I don't know how Bart and Scott are going to feel about that, but I think it would be.
Well, you spoke it. I mean, the only thing we did is not show them. I mean, I heard an old joke, and the guy said, you know, I bet I can get any woman here to kiss me. And he goes up to him and says, "Hey, will you kiss me?" She turns around and slaps him and goes back to his friend and says, "Well, you must get slapped a lot." He says, "But I also get a lot of yeses." So if you don't ask, Ed, you're never going to find out.
Oh, Carol Ann Elmore, how are you? She's sitting down in Chattanooga.
Oh, beautiful
she
spot.
She listens. It is a beautiful little town, isn't it? And great spots all around it as well, you know.
Absolutely.
And she's down there. She sends us on Facebook from Pennington Gap.
Pennington Gap, yep.
Yeah.
I see her update her once in a while, that theater there.
Theater down there. And just a fine lady. I hope to meet her someday. I keep goading her to get her to call in, and she says she's going to surprise me one of these days. She writes me on Facebook. But, you know, Christian, where do we go from here? Where does the Democrat Party go? Because you and I are Democrats, and they are not going to change. Well, they're not going to. I know I'm too old. They're not going to change me. possibility you might change. I doubt it. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? But this elections can teach you something. But, you know, we had the day. I just got to say this. You know, for example, when Mitt Romney ran, if he had won the election, you know, hey, I mean, Mitt Romney had a lot of money. Okay, he's got a lot of money. But he and his wife have raised five wonderful kids. I got no problem with the man. He brought a lot on him because he's a Mormon.
Yep.
I have no problem with that. That's you know, I don't see. Hey, congratulations. I mean, you know, we'll see you in 4 years. We'll do it again. You know, yep. I mean, but this one felt so different. You know.
My father told me something one day. I asked him, I said, how do you deal with big groups of people? He's Southern Baptist minister. He, you know, had been preaching for 30 years at the same, right. No, close to 30 years.
Dad
was
a pastor as well.
And so he said, son, you have to listen and move slowly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the thing about us, the Democrats, they're a lot more fractured than you'd like to believe they are.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. It was for such a party of people pleasers, they try to do it. They try to do it all at once. And whereas it's the old saying that Republicans, you know, get in line to vote while Democrats, I don't know, I forgot the whole punchline, but that's the thing. Republicans get in line. Republicans get in line, and Democrats, we try to maneuver and we try to, you know, make everybody happy in the party. So I'm not saying that like a whole consolidation down until one central, you know, leader is gonna help anything, gonna work. But I think it starts at a community level. You and I talked before the broadcast about there being such a rift and disconnect in people. And there is something about rejecting the awful notions that people have, but then trying to understand the emotions that they have that brought them to that spot. And I think not just as Democrats, but people in our community, we have to get back there first, because I don't know if you could have a conversation about facts right. with someone you vehemently disagree with, because like we've
established, when your emotions are involved.
Well, and even so, when their logic's involved at this point,
right?
You know, like sure. again, America's most trusted news station. So,
yeah, right.
So
sure.
you then have to talk about the emotions. Like, do you think that you could agree with a Republican that you want a good paying job?
Sure.
What about you want to feel safe in your community?
Sure.
Okay. Let's take those two things. Now, that's where the crack lies then. Because I think for all of the good nature and bad nature in people, where we go in handling the people in our community is going to be what defines us as Democrats.
Sure.
Because I've heard a lot of blaming of groups whenever the election happened.
Amen.
Oh, it was the Hispanics.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it was can you believe the Muslim vote didn't come out in Dearborn, Michigan like we thought it would?
Sure.
Who else can we point fingers at other than the fact that the establishment ran what was at that point in time, or 4 years ago at that point in time, one of the most unpopular candidates ever fielded by the Democratic Party.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we just thought that, like, President Biden running, stepping down halfway, that hadn't happened since 68.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We thought that her running a near British-style campaign.
2 months.
Would,
well, really 3 months,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, three-ish months. Three,
about 107 days.
Would then just erase all of the distrust, all of the bad feelings, all of the pushback that people had against government in general. While Donald Trump wears a suit, he does not wear the robe of someone who is a traditional politician.
True.
And that's one of the things that, if there was any such a word to define him, savvy, I guess, would be that he knows, and the people around him know, how to get on a person's level. Whereas, what are the first two things you might remember about his campaign commercials? No tax on tips, no tax on Social Security. Vice President Harris put out a 90-page report with graphs.
Right.
That doesn't stick with anybody, man. Did you read it?
No.
No?
No.
I voted for it. Didn't read it.
Yeah.
Because we thought that...
I see where you're going.
We thought that we could out-emotion, out-think, okay, this is the right thing we have to do now. This is what we have to do now. America's democracy depends on it. People have even different definitions of what that means. Jeff Neal's definition is different. Mine different. Yours different. His.
Yeah.
So, Democrats now have to start working at the micro level. If Republicans can long game for 40 plus years on abortion, which was the smartest thing they ever did, was make abortion a wedge issue.
Oh, yeah.
Then Democrats, in their neglect of southern rural communities, these blue collar guys, even though I know Vice President Harris got most of the union support, unions don't vote.
No, people do.
People do. Yard signs don't vote. People do.
Yeah.
And we have to start talking to people as though they're worthy of talking to. Disagreement does not end when you get to your high castle in Washington, or when you go home smug after a rally,
right,
or you've heard the things that you can agree with that make you feel better and able to sleep at night. Real work and real politics begin at the level of hard work,
right,
of talking to someone in your community and saying, look, it's going to take both me and you to continue to build the American pantheon.
Well, it's what you call getting the grit under your fingernails.
Getting your hands wet.
Yeah. And Eric Holder said it best. Well, he was talking before the election. He was on an interview somewhere, and he said, you know, that's wonderful that we've got all this emotion, but don't forget, our local elections are where it all starts.
Correct.
School board, county commission, city council, all these elections matter.
And how much do we complain about them?
Right. That's right.
And then what does that do?
Right.
What does that do when we constantly attack our smaller things, even if we're criticizing them? Just because they're filled with people we disagree with doesn't mean the institutions themselves are not worth trusting.
Sure.
Which is how people then build in their backbench and their ideas a distrusting government wholesale. They can't trust what's down on Main Street. Why are they going to trust what's in Washington?
I know. Yeah.
So I think it's up to us as nobodies to be somebody. And ensuring that we are doing our best to show that we know government works.
Sure.
That we can critique these things on a level that we can at least understand where other people come from.
Sure.
Because we have to take that step. It's not carrying out the olive branch. It's carrying out a shield. Because they're going to hit you with something.
Oh, sure.
And you're not going to like it.
Right.
Why do you feel that way, then? You know, okay, you don't like... that gay people can marry. Why? What does it do to you? Like, why does it make you feel that way? It's asking these hard, deep questions, and you come away disagreeing with. Because the
instead more, of getting mad, seriously think about it.
The more that they see outrage on their box, they live in that reality. The more that they separate from you and I.
You know, I did agree with our former vice presidential candidate. Mind your own business. There's a lot of truth to that statement.
I think so.
He said it a little more dramatically than that.
Now,
but you know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of truth to that. Mind your own business.
Yes.
You know, and what I care if a person can marry, a man can marry another man. I don't know. I've never thought. I don't know anything about it.
As much common sense is there, did it win?
I know.
No.
No.
Because there's a disconnect. People don't want to mind their own business, do they?
No, I guess we don't. Hence, you're here tonight.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm not here to keep you comfortable, Ed. I'm not here to keep the listeners comfortable.
We're going to get out of here. Christian, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Ed. I appreciate it.
Connor, thank you. Great job on the board. And I'll tell you what.
Yeah, thanks, Connor.
Ed Raymer here for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. And until next Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night.